Thank you. Thank you. It is good to be here. I don't ordinarily get nervous, so I don't know. I think it's that singing. It's like it's so neat, and it's like I can't sing because you'll hear me, and you'll know that I don't do that very well, but it is neat just to be together tonight and just celebrate what God's doing in our lives and in the lives of others. We're a day and a half or so away from Thanksgiving, where most of us will gather with our families, and we'll be excited about that, and we'll celebrate that. I know for us this year, we'll gather with my family instead of my wife's family, so that'll be a neat little trick there. So we'll do that, and it'll be excellent. But what's fascinating to me, and you'll see it too, and it's been the culture for some time, we'll gather together. And maybe you guys gather around the table, and before you eat, you make everybody go around the table and say what you're thankful for. My wife's family does that. It takes a long time, and you're pretty sure the food's going to get cold, but they do it. And you're like, all right, I'm thankful for everybody and God, and thank you for Jesus, and can we eat now? But we gather around, and we say what we're thankful for, and then we hang out, maybe play some football in the yard, do something like that. We go home, and we get up the next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock in the morning, no longer thinking about what we're grateful for. We are thinking about what we're off to get. And we are racing out of our house at really early in the morning, and we are throwing cash wherever we can throw it to get what we have to get, the greatest things at the cheapest prices, and we're arm wrestling people at the store to get the last one out of their hand, because you have to have it, because you don't want your kid to be disappointed, or you don't want your parents to be disappointed, so you're arm wrestling people, shoving them down, pushing them out of the way, saying, I've got to have it. And that has become the day after Thanksgiving for us. So we gather and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've given us. And then we arm wrestle people to get more. So perhaps this morning or tonight, we could just pause and just recognize God for who he is. This will probably be not the deepest sermon you've ever heard. It'll probably not be the longest sermon you've ever heard. But my prayer is that we're reminded of the cross, that we're reminded of God and his plan to redeem us, and that we would find hope and life in his name from it. So bottom line for you for the day is this. If you're an Encounter Life person, then we have bottom lines for every week. So here you go. You get one tonight. So if you're not used to it, in theory, at the end of the sermon, this will be the point that I was trying to make. So you can tell me if I did it or not. Bottom line is this, that we praise God for salvation and the assurance of our future hope through Christ's death and resurrection. And I think I'm supposed to operate this thing, which is a new trick to me, so you might get to... Nope, I didn't give it to you. So there you go. We're going to praise God for salvation and the assurance of our future hope through Christ's death and resurrection, that is what we're anchored to. That's our hope. That's what we cling to in life. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, and you see it there. And I will read it, and we'll pray together, and we'll spend some time in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says... This blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for just the community of believers in Manchester, God, that we can come together here tonight from our different churches and different denominations and different backgrounds, and we can gather tonight for the purpose of exalting your name, for the purpose of celebrating you, for the purpose of acknowledging that regardless of our background, regardless of where we come from, that if we call you Lord, it's only because of the finished work of Jesus. Because he's made a way for us. So God, we thank you for time together tonight. Pray that you'd be honored in the preaching of your word. Pray that you'd be honored as we continue in worship together tonight. God, you are incredible. You're worthy of praise. We love you. We gather together on a Tuesday night to tell you that you are incredible. That we're hopeless without you. And we're grateful for the cross. Thank you for not only the cross, but the resurrection. Defeated death, sin, Satan, and we have victory through it. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen. If we had two short points, they would be this. See, from a Baptist, background, so I should have 3 points. But for you tonight, you get 2. We see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the verse that I want us to focus on. Here's point number one, if you're a note taker, here it is. This is it. Praise God for salvation, right? Praise God for salvation. My prayer and hope and expectation for us as believers is that we don't get over the gospel. It seems like for us, we I came to faith in Christ. Great, now let's get on to the rest of it. Well, the rest of it is anchored in the cross, and it's anchored in the resurrection. Our hope is in Christ. May we not be a people who get over the gospel. May we not be a people who get over Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. May we not go on and say, oh, I've heard that before. What else is there? Oh, I've heard that before. I want to find the secret hidden nuggets. I've heard the cross before. I want something else. I don't want anything else but the cross. I don't want anything else but the resurrection. Every other part of the Word of God falls under that. Everything else comes under the umbrella of the cross. If there's no cross, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for me. We are dead in our sin. But thanks be to God who made a way for us, who made it possible for us to have a restored relationship to him. Thanks be to God that when we were dead, Christ made a way. Thanks be to God. Let's not get over the gospel. Might we leave tonight remembering and being mindful of the cross, that we gather and we help people and we'll give to Good Samaritan, we'll volunteer at Good Samaritan because Christ has made a way for us. He's given us life and given us the ability then to help others. May we not get over the cross. May we not look for something else in this life but find our hope anchored in the gospel. And here's the second point. Again, it's not the deepest thing you've ever heard in your life, but it is so, so, so deep. Salvation is only through Christ's death and resurrection. And you would say, Billy, I know that. I'm a Christian, and I'm at a Tuesday night church service. I know that. I understand that, Billy. Tell me something different. The reality is salvation is not based on our ability or our skill. That we're not going to stand before God. We don't stand before God and say, oh, God, I've got this. Aren't you impressed? Oh, God, I've got this skill. Isn't that good? Oh, God, I'm so incredible. All my friends like me. Aren't you proud of me, God? Oh, God, I have money. Isn't that good, God? Oh, God, I have time to volunteer. Isn't that good? We won't stand before God and say, look at this. Look what I've got to offer. But we'll stand before God and say, thank you for what you offered me. Thank you for giving of yourself that I'd even have an invitation to come and follow you. Thank you, Jesus. The reality is this. Acts 4 is a clear reminder that there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved. And we cling to that. We hope in that. And we know that Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to eternal life. Last week, I taught from Matthew 7. And so this kind of fits there with it. It was interesting in verses 21 to 23 that there's this group of people that are standing for the Lord and they're saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not take care of this in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy in your name? God, didn't we do that? And he says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. What is so fascinating to me is the reality that a people had the audacity to stand before God and say, look what we did. Look what I did, God. But we as the redeemed people will stand before the Lord and say, thank you for what you did. Thank you. That I cried out, crucify him. That I cried out, kill him, be done with him, get rid of him. But that he made a way for me. That my voice was crying out among the scoffers. That I would have been, if I was there 2,000 years ago, I would have been there saying, crucify him, crucify him. That's what I would have done. The reality is, Christ has made a way for us. Without the resurrection, we are a hopeless people. But let us be grateful tonight for
for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us be grateful that he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to die a death that he didn't deserve. That he died the death that you deserved and that I deserved. That he's raised to life. Let's be grateful for that tonight, that that would be what we would hope in, what where we would anchor our lives. A point of application for you. Again, it doesn't come in threes, but you have one, so that's good. Christ's sinless death, a sinless life, sacrificial death, and supernatural resurrection are sufficient for your salvation. Do you agree with that tonight? That Christ's sinless life, his sacrificial death, and his supernatural resurrection are sufficient for your salvation. Aren't you glad that it's not dependent on your ability to impress God, but that Jesus made a way for you through his perfect, sinless life? He lived a life that you could not live, and he died the death that you deserved, and he supernaturally resurrected, offering hope for you and for me. May we not get over that. May that be what drives us in our worship and adoration of our King. May that be what causes us to fall at his feet and worship and sing glad songs to him and to spend time in the Word reading the truth about God, and that we would know that our lives are anchored to this truth, that he lived the life that I could not live. He died the death that I deserved. Through his resurrection, I'm offered eternal life. Three questions to consider for you. Number one, are you trusting in Christ for salvation? Are you trusting in Christ for salvation? Are you trusting in your ability, your parents' religious background? Are you trusting in something besides Christ? Are you trusting in your wealth or your stuff or your family? Are you trusting in Christ for salvation? There's no other way in which we're saved except through Christ. Do you know Christ? Have you trusted him? I would say, if you'd say, no, I don't even know how I got to this church tonight. My friend said, we're going to church. I thought we were going to dinner, and here we are at church, and I don't know what's going on here. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I know that there are a number of pastors and ministers and preachers in this room. Find one of them that you think you might know, even if they just kind of look familiar, and say, hey, tell me what it means to be saved. Tell me what it means to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And I'm just going to take just a stab in the dark. I'm going to guess that they'll be willing to talk to you, that they'd be willing to have a conversation with you about what it means to come to faith in Christ. Question to consider number two, have you expressed sincere gratitude and worship to God for giving you life? Have you expressed sincere gratitude and worship to God for giving you life? When was the last time that you just paused, that you just spent time in prayer saying, God, you're amazing and incredible. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for being the God-man. Thank you for putting on flesh and coming and dwelling on this earth. And thank you for living the life that I couldn't, dying the death that I deserved. Thank you, Jesus, for being resurrected. Thank you, God, for raising Jesus. That our hope isn't dead. It's alive through Christ's resurrection. When was the last time that you just paused? On Thursday, when you gather around your table, will you pause and be thankful for what Christ has done? Will you just dig into the turkey and grab the mashed potatoes and, you know, thump the person next to you and try to get their mashed potatoes too? Will you do that, or will you pause and recognize that God is the giver of life? You have life because of him. Here's the last question for you. Maybe. Whoop, there you go. All right. Who do you know that hasn't yet trusted Jesus? Who do you know that hasn't yet trusted Jesus? Who do you know that they've yet to place their faith in Christ? Maybe they're going to be sitting at your table on Thursday. Maybe they're going to be coming to your house in the next month for Christmas and those sorts of things. Did you know that Thanksgiving and Christmas are great opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? They're great opportunities with which we can, with thanksgiving, share with others how they can know Christ. Just in your testimony, your gratefulness of how God saved you and your explanation of the gospel, that you can share this good news with others. Let's not be a people who miss this opportunity. Let's not be a people who say, I'll talk to people later. Let's not be a people who say, somebody else is going to take care of that for me. Let's not be a people who say, that's not my spiritual gift. If you were dead and have been made alive through the power of the cross, you've been made alive through Jesus and his sacrifice for you, then it is your spiritual gift. It's your obligation. It's our response, a natural response to us who have been redeemed, to tell others. We were dead. We're alive through Christ. Let's be a people who take the good news beyond our congregations. Let's just not be the people who go, I go to church and that's good enough. I gather together with people that I like and that's good enough. I sit under preaching and that's good enough. I sing songs and that's good enough. That's not good enough. There are people in our neighborhoods. There are people in our workplaces. There are people in the places that we regularly shop. There are people in our families who are dead without Christ and hopeless without Christ. Let us be a people who give thanksgiving to God by sharing the good news with others. Let's be a people who take the gospel to our families, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, and let's see a movement of God in this city like we haven't seen for a good long time. Let's be a people who go from this place and don't go, boy, I'm glad I went to a community Thanksgiving service. Boy, I'm glad I heard a cappella music. I haven't heard that for a while. Boy, I'm glad that guy only talked for 10 minutes. Don't go from here saying those things. Let's go from here saying, Jesus is our Redeemer. He's our hope, and we're anchored in him, and let's tell people about him, that they might hear the good news of Jesus Christ and respond in repentance and faith, turning to Christ alone for salvation, that they might become not just friend, not just family, not just coworker, not just somebody that we know, not just cashier, but they might become brother or sister in Christ, and that they would join us as the redeemed people of God, celebrating with thanksgiving the inexpressible gift that is Christ. Let's be a people who go from this place making much of his name, giving thanksgiving to him, and honoring his name. Would you pray with me and we'll be finished. God, thank you for your goodness and grace. We are grateful for the cross. We're grateful, Jesus, that you put on flesh. We're grateful that you stepped out of heaven and came to this earth, that you lived a perfect, sinless life. God, that you experienced temptation, yet did not sin. That you lived the life that we couldn't and we can't. You died the death that we deserve. Thank you for willingly going to the cross. God, we thank you for resurrection. We thank you for a hope. Pray that our hope is anchored in you, God. And I pray tonight, if there'd be somebody here that doesn't know you, that they would just be willing to ask somebody, tell me more about the gospel, tell me more about Jesus. And God, for those of us who are redeemed, those of us who are the people of God, that we would, with great thanksgiving, celebrate your name. That we wouldn't get over the gospel, but we'd be reminded of it, and it would drive us to thanksgiving over and over and over and over again. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to be your church, and God, to share the gospel, that your church would grow here in the city, that it would grow in our families, that it would grow among our coworkers. God, that you'd daily add to those who are being saved. In Christ's name, amen.